This morning's reading can be found on page 474 of the Church Bibles. So the reading this morning is from Ezra chapter 2, verses 68 to 70. When they arrived at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the heads of the families gave freewill offerings towards the rebuilding of the house of God on its site. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for this work 61,000 darics of gold, 5,000 minas of silver, and 100 priestly garments. The priests, the Levites, the musicians, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants settled in their own towns, along with some of the other people, and the rest of the Israelites settled in their towns. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ian. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. It's great to be together, isn't it? I've got to give you three health warnings before I start my talk, just so that you're aware of some really important things that I want to say. The first is that this is not a church where we regularly talk about money, but today is one of those days. So those of you who have been here for years, could you just confirm that we don't usually bang on about money every week? That's right, isn't it? Yes, okay. But we do, once a year, in line with our teaching series, deliberately look at the Christian response to giving. And today's one of those days. So if you're a visitor today, or you've not been for a while or whatever, please don't leave getting the wrong impression that all St. George's ever bangs on about is money. That's not true. It's not the case, but it is the case today. Secondly, giving to the church is a Christian discipline. And I love the fact that as a church, we are always doors open. Those who are Christians come here to worship. Those who are not yet Christians come here to seek and to find out more. So it is the case amongst us today, we will have some Christians and some seekers, some not yet Christians. Giving to the church is a Christian discipline. So if you're not a Christian yet, we do not expect you to give one penny to the church. That isn't what we expect. If you're a Christian, then I hope that today we'll be able to remind ourselves what it is to give to the church as part of our worship. And then the third thing that I should just say before your pulse starts racing, there's no problem, okay? I'm not about to announce a £50,000 deficit in our budgets. I'm not about to announce a new building project that I need you all to give to or anything like that. There is no problem, which actually means that the pressure's off. We can look at Christian giving just for the sake of doing it because it's good for us to do that without there being any pressure. In fact, the truth is, if nothing changes in our giving as a result of my sermon today, at the end of this financial year, we are still on target to totally wipe our faces and there'll be no problem whatsoever. But it's a good discipline to do. So with those health warnings in mind, let's pray. Father, we thank you that all things come from you, that all things belong to you, that we are stewards of the good gifts that you've given to us. And we pray today that we would be wise stewards, open to what you're saying to us this morning. And as we look at the topic of giving, that you would help us to understand it more deeply, and through it that the Lord Jesus Christ would be worshipped. For we pray in his name and for your glory. Amen. So today we continue our series in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. I say book because originally Ezra and Nehemiah was one book glued together. At some point it was split off into the two books that we've got today. And it's a great book because it tells the story of after God's people are taken to exile in Babylon, how they find their way back to Jerusalem. Last week we looked at Martin was preaching for us, wasn't he, that it was the time to return. And he gave us that challenge, didn't he? Now's the time, unless we're isolating for good medical reasons, now's the time for us to be back in church worshipping together. And you'll have noticed in last week's reading from Ezra chapter 1 that God's people gave to the building of the temple and the walls. And again in chapter 2, they start giving again. There's a generosity here. Martin also reminded us that for those who are particularly cautious about COVID, our Wednesday service might be a good place to gather where we still socially distance, we all wear masks, there is no singing. So there is a place for all. Here we find ourselves in Ezra chapter 2, and after a very long list of names of all those that regathered, we see this wonderful need emerge, that God's people notice the need in the temple, in the walls, that there is work to be done to fulfill the ministry that God was calling them to do. And as a result, they gave generously. And I've got three different points that I want to make. The first one is that they gave free will offerings. Giving to God's work is always freely done. Secondly, that they were generous. They gave all these incredible gifts of 61,000 darics and 5,000 minas, which you can imagine, can't you? According to the footnote in the NIV, that's 500 kilograms of gold and 3 tons of silver. So a large amount was given. They gave generously. And thirdly, the vast majority of the money given was given to the treasury with some specific gifts, these 100 priestly garments that were given as well. So they're my three points around which I want to talk to you about giving. So firstly, they gave free will offerings. Giving to the church is always a free choice. It's always a free choice. We don't have to do anything. I just want to start by saying a massive thank you to those of you who do give to St. George's. Massive thank you to those who have given for years to St. George's. A massive thank you to those who give when they can. And a big thank you to those who give sacrificially when they can't. Thank you to those who give regularly and those who give occasionally. Thank you to those who want to give in their heart, but their situation means they can't give, perhaps married to a non-Christian spouse who simply doesn't allow that to happen. Well, if that's you, I'm sure that the Lord looks on our heart in these matters and is pleased and would want me to thank you. Thank you to those who kept giving over lockdown, even though our church doors were closed for those months. We live under grace, not the law. You'll remember in the Old Testament the principle of sacrifice. If you do something wrong, you would then take an animal, usually a sheep without blemish, and take it to the priest at the temple who would butcher this animal, and that would in some way absolve, remove from you your sin. It would die in your place. As our Lord Jesus dies on the cross, his cry is, "It is finished." And part of that which was finished was that old sacrificial system. We no longer need a sacrificial system because Jesus dies as that once for all sacrifice for our sin. So we don't need that system anymore. We no longer live under the law. We live under grace. And our giving should reflect that. If you're wanting me today to tell you exactly what you as a Christian should be giving, you're going to end up disappointed because there isn't some law that I'm about to dictate to you today, because we don't live under the law, we live under grace. And that's a wonderful thing. A free will offering is what we can give. If we try and live under the law, actually what we do is make a mockery of the cross. Because we try and put ourselves back under some sort of legalistic way of working with which Christ has fulfilled and replaced with grace. So we don't want to do that. We follow a God who gives. Do you remember John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave. And likewise, we give as a response. The amount that we give doesn't actually matter. I think what matters is that we're all involved. We're all part of this. Giving is always motivated by our response to what God has done for us, his love for us, that we then want to respond to. And just like we see in Ezra, they give because they see a vision of the kingdom. They see something special that they want to give to. And as the giving happens, it actually increases our faith. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that later on. For me, I think one of the most helpful things about giving is that it removes the power that money has. Money's a powerful thing. And how do you remove the power from money? You devalue it. How do you devalue it? You give it away freely, as if it's worth nothing to you. And in an economically driven society where, for some, money is everything, giving is a grace to us to be able to put money back in its rightful place and the Lord Jesus on the throne. Did you know that aside from the kingdom of God, Jesus speaks more about money than any other topic, word for word, as is recorded in the Gospels? Why? Because Jesus knows that finances are important. They're important to us. They're also important to him. It's been said before now, if you want to see where someone's priorities lie, look in their bank statement. There you'll see where their priorities lie. So the people gave generously. 500 kilograms of gold, 3 tons of silver. Today the value of that would be £3.6 million, would you believe? It's interesting, isn't it, that they gave to the treasury and trusted the treasury to use the money to rebuild the temple and the walls. One thing that I've been very impressed with as I arrived here 18 months ago is that the church congregation trusts the leaders and the PCC to wisely steward the gifts that are given. I don't hear any talk of, oh, Ben, we should be spending our money on X, Y, and Z instead. They trust the leaders and the PCC with those financial gifts. I think that's a good thing. Let me explain to you our current financial picture as a church. We are a church, as you know, of about 500 people, about 100 children and young people. And our general fund this year, that's our main church fund, not our Fresh Hope ministry, our CAP ministry, our missional giving, our building projects, all those things, just our general run-of-the-mill church life stuff here, will cost us this year £406,000. If you say it quickly, it doesn't sound too bad. £406,000. There are currently, and that's without any growth, that's without any new things starting, £406,000. There are currently 148 households who give generally, regularly to that fund. 148 households. And as you'd expect, as a growing church, that number is about 6 more this year than it was 12 months ago. There's actually been 16 new people start giving to the church regularly and 10 people who have ceased giving or moved away. So we are growing. But worryingly for me, removing those 16 people just for a moment, of the remaining 132 households that are giving regularly to the church, 118 of them, that's nearly 90%, haven't ever changed the amount they're giving in the last year. Now, why does that worry me? Well, because we've just had a global pandemic. Everyone's income, I believe, will have changed. Some will have reduced because people have lost jobs, lost incomes, or had to go on furlough at a lesser amount of money. And therefore, I would expect to see many of those decreasing as a result. Others of us have increased their income over the last 12 months simply because their pay's linked to inflation or their investments have done well or whatever else. I imagine if you've invested in PPE, you've done reasonably well over the last 18 months. Well, maybe that's one of you. And so I would expect that some people's giving would have to go down in line with their income and others would have to increase in line with their income. But actually, 89% of us, and I'm one of them, me included, haven't even thought about it. It's just sort of happened. My challenge is, can you sit down as a family and think about your giving again? I've got this. This is my one point for you today. Have I recently prayed about my giving to St. George's and given whatever it is God has put on my heart to give? Let me take you through some kingdom economics here. You'll know I've been here 18 months now and never yet used a flip chart. You're about to find out why that is. Here we go. Let me introduce you. This is Ted. Ted's a church member. He's thought through, he's worked out that this year financially he needs to get from A to B this year. He knows what sort of bills he needs to pay. He's got the house. He's got fees for his child's university education. He's got a holiday that he needs to take. He's got some savings for a rainy day. He's got other things that he just needs to do, financial commitments that he ends up making. And he knows that to get from A to B financially this year, he's going to need 100% of his income to travel that distance. And so therefore he decides there's no way that he could possibly give anything to the church because he's going to need everything that he has just simply to get from A to B. So Ted makes the decision, sadly, not this year. This is Fred. Looks very similar to Ted. Wonderfully, his legs are the same length. In the first service, his legs were quite out, so I had to explain that he walked with a real limp, so you know exactly who Fred was. Fred also, financially, needs to get from A to B this year. Just like Ted, he has done his budgeting and worked out exactly what it is that he needs to make all those ends meet. But Fred has decided that a proportion of his income, and what that proportion is doesn't really matter, but a proportion of his income is going to be given to the church. Now, Ted looks at Fred and thinks, "You idiot. You idiot. You've budgeted, you've worked out that to get from A to B this year, you're going to need everything, and yet you've decided to give some away." Now, interestingly, Fred doesn't get from A to B in his finances over this year. He makes it to this whole new area, C. Just pause for a second. I'm not straying into prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying that actually if you give more money away to the church, God will bless your finances and you'll be even richer at the end of it. I have no doubt that dear old Fred does not have more money at the end of this. But he's taken spiritually to a better place where he can live a contented life, where he loves to help others, where money has lost its power and where he can invest in the kingdom with joy. Fred, as a result, thinks Ted, politely, is a bit of an idiot. So my question to you is, which sort of idiot are you going to be? I'm a Fred. This is what my wife and I do in our household. We work out our gross income together. I think it's important you know as a church how I... This isn't a model. This isn't an example. I'm not telling you to follow suit. I'm just telling you what we do. We work out what our gross income is. So that's my gross income from the church commissioners. It's my wife's gross income from her part-time role that she has. It's our child tax credits. It's our child benefits. It's any income that we get into our account. And we add it all together and work out exactly what that looks like and take a percentage of that that we then give to the church. And for different people, that percentage will look differently because the question isn't, am I giving X percent? It's, have I prayed? Have I prayed about this? And when Lenny and I prayed about this, for years it was 10%, and we felt that we should up it to 11%, which is what we did about 3 or 4 years ago. And so that's what we do. On top of that, we then give to various charities that we want to, but our tithe comes here. And this week, as I prepared my sermon, I realized I was one of the 89% that hadn't actually looked at this over the year, and so I did that rough tot-up. And since I started work here 18 months ago, I realised that my income had gone up by £150 a month since starting here. Just incremental increases from things like, you know, you know how it works. And worked out that I was there for £15. I was giving £15 less than perhaps I should have been. So I emailed our treasurer and said, "Keith, I'm upping this by £15 for these reasons." I thought, is that just ridiculous? Is that churlish? Is that just silly? Is it insignificant? £15 when we've got a £406,000 pot. Is it really worth doing? I thought, well, I probably should do. Then I worked out, hang on, if 148 families had all done exactly the same and found themselves in the same position as me, that would be £26,000 a year. That's a significant amount of money. Interestingly, you attend a Fred church. That is to say, we as a church give 10% of our income away to our global mission partners. We also give an additional 1% away to UK mission. And at our next PCC meeting, we're going to be starting a discussion, as to whether we should actually be giving more away as a resource church. And why do I always talk about planned giving? Well, because planned giving is that giving which isn't based on attendance. You know, you go to the cinema and you pay your ticket to be there. If you're not at the cinema, you obviously don't give them any money. With church life, even when we're not here, because we're away on holiday or we're visiting family or whatever else, there'll be good reasons why sometimes we're not here. We still need to be giving to the life of the church. 74% of our general costs are met through those 148 households who do regular planned giving. I want that to be 100%. I want everyone involved. Doesn't matter on the figures, doesn't matter how much you're giving, but what matters is that we're all involved. Does your giving make a difference? Yes, it does. A big difference. Did you know that if everyone stopped giving today and we carried on spending at the same rate, as a church, we would go bankrupt in 17 days' time. Did you know that? That's how much we've got in the bank. And so as a result, I'd love to see that increase to 30 days so we could have a month rather than 17 days before we went bankrupt. Lastly, and I'll finish here, the vast majority of their giving in Ezra went to the treasury, but there were some special one-off projects as well, like the 100 priestly garments. You know, we love a project, don't we? We love to give to something where we can see that we're making a difference. Like when we installed our AV equipment over lockdown, it was a great project that people joyfully gave to. Or the church tower rebuilding work, Project Strong Tower, is a great project that people could give to. The issue, though, is that no one gets particularly excited about the photocopier maintenance bill. No one gets particularly joy-filled about the fire alarm audit that needs doing. But they are real costs that we as a church need to invest in, which is why I think it's a good principle that the vast majority of our giving goes to the general fund. And then on top of that, there's the priestly garments. There's the one-off gifts that can be given. Have I prayed recently, keyword recently, about my giving to St. George's? And have I given whatever it is that God has put on my heart to give? I reiterate a massive thank you to those of you who do give regularly. And simply ask, Lord, how much of each pound do you want me to give back to you? Is it a penny? Is it 10p? Is it 20p? 50p? What is it? Because this year I don't want to just get from A to B in my finances. I want to go from C or D or E or F with you. This isn't a fundraising exercise. It never can be. This is a godly response to a God who gives to us. An act of love, an act of worship. Have I recently prayed about my giving to St. George's and given whatever it is that he's put on my heart to give? Let's pray. Father, we need your help with this. We need your guidance. Lord, we thank you for those who've given to the ministry here over many, many years. Thank you for those new givers who have recently joined the church. Thank you that our finances are in good shape and that the treasury team do such a good job of diligently stewarding those gifts. Lord, help us as families, as individuals, to prayerfully consider our giving going forward and to lower or increase, as may be appropriate, that amount, remembering that we always give by grace, not by the law, and that regardless of how much we give, if nothing at all, you love us. So, Father, help us to reflect on those things over the coming days, and continue to grow our finances, that the kingdom work here would flourish, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, should we stand and sing our last hymn today? So these are the words of Take My Life and Let It Be, to the tune of Come Thou Fount, which is just such a joyful way of singing this. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Side.